Adai tvam aham isham idyam piteva putrasya sakeva sakyu priya priyayar hasideva sodhum. Translation. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus, as a father tolerates the impudence of his son, or a friend tolerates the impertinence of a friend, or a wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done to you, or done you. Text 45 on page 590. Adrishta purvam rishitos midrishtva payena cha pravyatitam manome tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. Translation. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Text 46. Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam ichchami tvam drashtum aham tataiva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhavavishvamurte. Translation. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. Text 47. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Prasenena Tavarjunedam Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Tejomayam Vishvam Anantam Adyam Yanme Tvadanyena Nadrishta Purvam. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you, by my internal potency, this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. Text 48. Naveda yagya jayanayar nadanayar nacha kriyabhir natapobhir ugrayi evam rupa shakya aham driloke drashtum tvaranyena kuru pravira. Translation. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in the material world. Text 49. Ma te vyata ma cha vimudha bhavo Drishtva rupam ghoram idrin mamedam Vyapeta bhi prita panak punastvam Tadeva me rupam idam prapasya. Translation. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Text 50. Sanjaya uvacha ityarjunam vasudevas tatoktva svakam rupam darshayama sabhuyaha. Anak saumyam vapur mahatma. Translation. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, The Supreme Personality of God. Fearful Arjuna. Text 51. Arjuna uvacha drishtvedam manusham rupam Tava saumyam janardana idanim asmi samvrita sacheta prakritim gataha. Translation. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his human form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. Text 52. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Sudardarsham Idam Rupam Drishtvan Asivyan Mama Deva Apyasya Rupasya Nityam Darshana Kangshinaha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. And finally, text 53. Naham vedaya natapasa nadanena nachejaya shakya evam vido drashtum dushtavanasimam yata. Translation. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Going back to text 43, page 588. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is worshipable as a father is worshipable for his son. He is the spiritual master because he originally gave the Vedic instructions to Brahma, and presently he is also instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore, he is the original spiritual master and any bona fide spiritual master at the present moment must be a descendant in the line of disciplic succession stemming from Krishna. Without being a representative of Krishna, one cannot become a teacher or spiritual master of transcendental subject matter. The Lord is being paid obeisances in all respects. He is of immeasurable greatness. No one can be greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because no one is equal to or higher than Krishna within any manifestation, spiritual or material. Everyone is below him. No one can excel him. This is stated in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha vidakasya jishyate. The Supreme Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man, but for him there is no difference between his senses, his body, his mind, and himself. Foolish persons who do not perfectly know him say this Krishna... Say that Krishna is different from his soul, mind, heart, and everything else. Krishna is absolute, therefore his activities and potencies are supreme. It is also stated that although he does not have senses like ours, he can perform all sensory activities. Therefore his senses are neither imperfect nor limited. No one can be greater than him, no one can be equal to him, and everyone is lower than him. the knowledge, strength, and activities of the Supreme Personality are all transcendental. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. Whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body, activities, and perfection, after quitting his body, returns to him and does not come back again to this miserable world. Therefore, one should know that Krishna's activities are different from others. The best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. It is also stated that there is no one who is master of Krishna. Everyone is his servant. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5.142 confirms Ekale Ishvara Krishna Adasabhavritya. Only Krishna is God, and everyone else is his servant. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his superintendence. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, he is the cause of all causes. So, Krishna is the supreme controller, and it doesn't matter whether one believes it or accepts it or doesn't accept it, everyone is under his control. Parashya shakti vividhaiva shruyate natasya kavyam karanam cha vidyate natat samaschabhidikasya cha drishyate. He has so many energies, and one way or another everyone will be under the influence of his different energies. He has two primary, you could say, energies. One is the internal potency, called Yogamaya, and the other is the external energy, called Mahamaya. And if the living entities are favorable towards Krishna, then they're allowed to be under the protection of the divine energy, Yogamaya. That's the spiritual energy. And if they're antagonistic towards Krishna, if they're inimical towards Krishna, then they're put under the Mahamaya, the material energy. That is the way things are. Someone may say, well, what if someone's neutral? What if he's neither favorable nor unfavorable? Well, you have to be favorable or unfavorable. It's just like, you can't be neutral. How can you be neutral? So how would you be neutral towards Krishna? You'd have to say, well, he may be God or he may not be God. You know. But you can't say he might be God or he might not be God, or I might accept his superiority or I might not. If you say, I might accept or I might not, then it means you don't really, at least according to this verse, Krishna or Arjuna is saying that there's no one equal to you, everyone is below you. So that means everyone is subordinate. If you don't accept the subordination, then you're not going along. You're inimical. You understand the point? For example, here in America, we have laws. Okay? Now, let's say a policeman stops you and says, you're not obeying this law. And the person just says, just holds his hands up and says, doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Don't you accept the laws? I may accept them or I may not accept them. I'm neutral. What will the policeman say? You can't be neutral. If you're in this country, you have to accept the laws. What do you say? It's not neutral. He won't accept that neutral. If you go to the court and the judge says, did you do it or did you not do it? Some crime. He says, either I did it or I didn't do it. I'm neutral. I take a neutral stand. I make no claim, guilty or not guilty. I'm neither under the laws or not. I'm neutral. No, you can't accept. That's not acceptable. So how can you say that you're in between towards Krishna? You either accept him as the supreme or you don't accept him as the supreme. And if you do, then you're under the divine energy, the spiritual energy. And if you don't, then you're under the material energy. Let's go on to text 44. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus I fall down to offer my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, or a friend tolerates the impertinence of a friend, or a wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done to you. Does everyone understand this verse? What some of our foreign students, do you know what the word impertinence means? Okay, so the first one is impudence of a son. In other words, the son sometimes, you've seen little children, the father's holding the child and the child slaps the father in the face. So that's impudent. Or the father says, all right, come on, son, we're going now. No! So that's impudence. So that's... A father tolerates, though. He doesn't say, all right, I reject you, you know. Get your own meals, don't come to my home. No, he doesn't do that. He knows this is his son. You know, this is the way a child behaves. He tolerates. And the next one is, a friend tolerates the impertinence of a friend. So the impertinence of a friend means sometimes a friend, he does something that embarrasses you in front of maybe others and it makes you feel bad, but he's your friend, so you tolerate. Right? You've had that experience. He reveals something about you which is very embarrassing that only he knows. And he wasn't expected to do that, but he did it in front of others. But anyway, you tolerate because he's your friend. Or he borrows your car without asking you. He wasn't supposed to do that. But he's your friend, all right, you tolerate. You understand? That's impertinent. And the next one is, a wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner. You understand that? Familiarity. In other words, they're very intimate, so sometimes he's very familiar with her. But she tolerates. All right, my husband. What does it say? Yeah, the wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner. It doesn't say husband, it says partner. Lover, Priya. So, the point is that Arjuna's requesting, please tolerate whatever I may have done wrong. Because before I was just acting as your friend. I didn't treat you like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We used to sit on the same bed and we used to joke around together. Now I've seen your universal form, I realize that you're God. And I'm thinking, what did I do? I wasn't showing respect. Of course, this is part of Arjuna's great qualities. Actually, Arjuna is far above seeing Krishna as God. Far, far above. He's on the level of Krishna's friend. But out of humility, he's thinking, oh, I made some offense. I should have treated you like you were God. So this is to be understood. Arjuna is actually very, very advanced, far more advanced than seeing Krishna as God. Seeing Krishna as God, even like, for example, the Vedas personified, they see Krishna as God. And they offer prayers and svasti, svasti. What is it he was saying? Svasti, svasti. Yes, all peace, all peace. They're bow, please, Lord, give us peace. You know, just like people pray, give us peace. Well, that's a very lower level understanding of God. God, all pervading, all powerful. Please protect us. Arjuna is far more advanced than that. This level, this relationship as friend is a very elevated relationship. But out of humility, he's taking this position. I've done wrong. I've offended you. Text 45. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead. O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. In other words, seeing the universal form may be nice for a little while, but it's not something you want to see all the time. Just like, I'll have to give a crude example. Someone may like to go see this movie, what was it, the Titanic? But it's not like a movie you'd like to see every week. You know, it's horrible annihilation and people... You know, once you may want to see this horrible thing, but not all the time. Whereas some other movie that's more, you know, I know some people have gone to see a very jolly, happy movie. They went to see it, you know, dozens and dozens of times. But I can't imagine anyone wanting to see the Titanic dozens and dozens of times. See all those people annihilated again and again. Because it's not very beautiful. In other words, it's you might say it's extraordinary and it's overwhelming, and but you get tired of it. Arjuna, he's seen it once, now he's tired of it. Okay, now let me go back to the personal form. So similarly, the impersonal feature, of which you could say the universal form is one kind of an aspect, because it's not directly the personal feature, so it's somewhat impersonal, just as Krishna says, mayatatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina, in this avyakta murti, my unmanifest form. But now Arjuna wants to see the form of the Lord again, personal. Text 46, O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. Well, this is, he's doing a great service for the rest of the living entities by showing that the same person who shows the universal form is Vishnu, four-handed Narayan. And then he's going to ask to see the two-handed form. This is a great service, because otherwise people might not think that the universal form is Krishna, and they might not think that Vishnu is Krishna. This is very important. He's showing that the source of the universal form is Krishna. The source of the Narayan four-handed form is Krishna. So people who ask this question, they sometimes say, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that Krishna is the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. No, Bhagavad Gita explains right here that the source of Vishnu is Krishna. Of course, it's also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chang Sakala Pung Sam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Indyari Vyakulam Lokam Ridyanti Yuga Yuga. Krishna is the source of the Vishnu forms also. All the forms. Brahma confirms this. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavak Paramakpamanyo Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Nidami. Text 47. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence." Text 47, 48. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine, for neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in the material world. In other words, it's depending upon His mercy. No one can achieve this vision by any endeavor of their own, or as the Christians say, not by works alone. In other words, it does depend upon the mercy of the Lord for Him to reveal Himself to the devotee. It's up to His causeless mercy. Now someone may say, well, if it's causeless, then that means there's no cause, so there's no way to achieve it. Yes, that's right. But then, if one performs devotional service, Krishna says that by devotional service, you can achieve me. So how do you reconcile those two seemingly contradictory points? I'm asking. How do you reconcile them? Yes. Yes, that's exactly right, yes. In other words, we cannot cause Krishna to do it. He's not forced. Cause means force. Okay? Isn't it? That's the definition of a cause. Or at least, because otherwise, if the cause does not make something happen, then it's not the cause in all circumstances. So cause means force. Just like, where did you get your body? You got it from your parents. They forced you to get this body. That's one of the causes. So, if by your activities you cannot cause Krishna to bestow His mercy on you, then that means His mercy is causeless. That's correct. Not forced. It's if He likes. He always retains that freedom, that independence, Sarat. He's never under the influence of anyone or anything. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna. And that's why everyone loves Krishna. Even His wife, the goddess of fortune, she loves Krishna, but she knows that she doesn't control Him in any way. He's completely independent. And that's one of the wonderful things about Krishna, that nobody owns Him. Nobody controls Him. And if He acts like He's under your control, like in the case of the queens of Dwarka, He acted like He was under their control. That was just His kindness. Actually, He wasn't under their control. But He put Himself voluntarily under their control out of love. So He's called Ajita. One of His names is Ajita. It means not unconquerable. But yet, Jita Jitopi, He becomes conquered by His devotees. Voluntarily. Not by some energy or something, but voluntarily He agrees. Okay? So we understand that point. 49. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances, with a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna." Well, this word svakam, or real form, is opposed to the idea of the universal form, which is not his real form. That's not his original form. And it's somewhat even not real. It's a kind of a vision, universal form. It's a kind of a conception rather than an eternal form. The word somya vapu in the purport is significant. Somya vapu is a very beautiful form. It is known as the most beautiful form. Somya means beautiful, and vapu means form. Naturally, we like to see beautiful forms. We were discussing that earlier this morning. That people go to art museums and different things. They want to see beautiful forms. But what more beautiful form is there than the form of Krishna? There is no more beautiful form than Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. If he were not the most beautiful form, explain to me how yogis can sit and meditate upon his form for thousands of years without doing anything else. Explain that to me. Imagine if it was an ugly form. Could you imagine someone meditating upon an ugly form for thousands of years? Or, the gopis, they cursed Brahma, the Lord of the universe, because he created eyes that blinked. And during the blinking, they couldn't see Krishna's beautiful form. And they were so angry with Brahma, they called him a dunce. All right, Brahma is the head of the Sampradaya. He's a very big personality. He's the chief demigod in the universe. They weren't afraid. They called, "You're a dunce, you're a nonsense." Why? Because you created eyes with these eyelids that blink. And when it blinks, we don't see Krishna during that time. Now, how beautiful must Krishna be for someone to curse Brahma for having eyelids? Text 50. No, 51. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, "O Janardan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature." Yes, the form of Krishna is so beautiful that it restores one back to his original nature. That's a very nice statement. By seeing the form of Krishna, one becomes restored back to his original nature. It makes one the way he's supposed to be. And not seeing the beautiful form of Krishna makes one unnatural, makes him terrible, makes him horrible. Just see what happens to those who don't see Krishna. What kind of persons are they? Oof. They become terrible. They become violent and ignorant and foolish. All bad. Aggressive. And those who are seeing the form of Krishna, what happens to them? Ah, they become very wonderful. Like Srimati Radharani, such a wonderful personality. Well, all these great devotees, Prahlad Maharaj was seeing the form of the Lord. There's how many? 8 different forms? 8 different materials that the deity of the Lord can be made of: stone or wood or jewels or metal or sand. It can be made on sand or in the mind also. So they're all deities. You can worship just like the meditators do. They worship the Lord in the mind. That's a deity form. That's a meditation on the form of the Lord. It's a form of deity worship. So, Krishna's form is so beautiful that by seeing it, one becomes again restored to his natural state. Wonderful. Natural means full of love, full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of eternality. And just the opposite if one doesn't see the form of the Lord. Therefore, deity worship is so important, because it's very difficult for us to see the form of the Lord in the mind. If you say, okay, now I'm going to sit down and meditate upon the form of the Lord in the mind, how long will you be able to fix the form of the Lord in your mind? If at all. You think you can do it? Sit down, meditate. Okay, now I'm going to meditate upon the form of the Lord. Very difficult, isn't it, Bhakta Vaiko? Very difficult. In this age, it's practice. Now, in previous ages, they could do it because it was a better age and people had the capabilities. But in this age, how can you sit down and meditate upon the form of the Lord? Huh? You think you could do it, Rukma? How long can you do it? A few seconds? More? Because the mind is so flickering. Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye. Was it Vayu Sudhuskuram? Painting is also a deity. That's what I'm saying. You can't meditate. You won't be able to fix your mind on the Lord for very long. A few seconds maybe. Mind is so fickle. It's rejecting. As soon as you say, okay, now, let's all close our eyes for a minute. Fix your mind on the form of Krishna. It's very difficult, isn't it? To fix. Because the mind is stubborn, rascal. No. Fix the mind. Okay, now think of Krishna's form. No. I'd rather have void. So this is what we're dealing with. Our rascal minds, big enemies. But the deity form is more easy. You can immediately see, even without such qualifications, even if your mind is fickle and rascal and everything, if you can somehow or other drag your mind into the temple room, that's why we have these evening arti, so everyone can drag their mind into the temple room and see the beautiful form of the Lord and become restored back to their natural state, free from anxiety, free from all those horrible things, those bad qualities. That's why the temple is there. That's why the deity is there. Okay, next, 53. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Any questions?
Yeah.
So the question is, for the benefit of those in the kitchen, can they hear in the kitchen? There's no one there. Oh, only. Okay. The question is that we said that Krishna is the source of the four-headed Narayan. But in the Krishna book, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Mahavishnu, when Krishna and Arjuna went there, he said, you are my expansions, and I've sent you there, and all these things. So how do we reconcile that? Actually, there's a a very long, long discussion about this by the six Goswamis, I think by Jiva Goswami, one of the Goswamis. He went into a long detail in one of the books. I don't remember which one. But he explains and he uses all kinds of references using the Sanskrit, analyzing that the Sanskrit indicates that even though he said that, what it really means is that I am your subordinate and that you are the supreme. Yeah, it's of course, he understands the point, but still he's wondering about that statement. Oh, you're saying that Mahavishnu is confused. I don't think Mahavishnu is confused. No, rather, we may be confused and misunderstanding. That's why Jiva Goswami has very carefully explained the misunderstanding. The fact is that here's one way of concluding. If Mahavishnu is the source, why would he want to see the form of Krishna? Krishna's form is so beautiful that even Mahavishnu can't resist wanting to see the form of Krishna. That's the explanation that Prabhupada gives in the Krishna book. Very, very good. Yeah. It's good thinking. Very nice analytical consideration. Okay, we'll stop there. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.